This afternoon, I'd like to continue with the study that we had last week, because I think we're in a time where it's very valuable for us to store away God's Word. A lot of people have spiritual opinions, teachings, but it's going to be very valuable for me to know what does the Word of God say. And more than just what does it say, being able to rightly divide the Word of God. Because I can read a scripture and I can decide this is the way it is and find that there's other scriptures that show that that has a different meaning to it. So I would like to stop for just a little bit and go back to some of the scriptures last week. How valuable is it to know that, you know what, salvation is available for every person in the world. There is no one that it's left out from. And the scriptures that I store away in my heart that are for that, we had a lot of scriptures come in last week, but I'd like to go back to John 3:16. This is the one we all know the most, but there's another verse that goes right along with it. So this one lets us know that it's whosoever. 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then the next verse, we hardly ever read that verse, we just move on to something else, but the next verse confirms it. It says, he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Here's his purpose, but that the world through him might be saved. So for us to recognize today, with all the things that are happening, all the different people that are saying this is, the darkness that's being called light, light that's being called darkness, it can start blurring what is really the truth. But I want to understand and always remember one thing. God sent his son into the world, not to condemn it, but that the world through him could be saved. And then I was thinking of some of the other verses that we had. Remember Revelation 22:17 was, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. You know, there's not just a little trickle of water flowing, but it's available for us and we can drink of it freely. The other one was in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, you know, we're living in a time where it's hard to hear his voice if we're caught up in all the noise of the things around us. You remember where the prophet, whenever the mountain was, there's an earthquake, there's a fire, there's lots of things that make a lot of noise. But then he found that the Lord was in, there was a still small voice. I can have a lot of things going on in my head. And it can be, we're not talking about sinful things. It can be the world news. It can be what's happening today and it's churning in my head. To where if I'm not careful, it's hard to hear the voice of the Lord. If any man will hear my voice and then open the door. You know, that's not just for the sinner. I believe that's available for all of us today. To hear his voice as a Christian. Hear his voice above all the other clamoring that's going on around us that can occupy my mind. And if I open the door, he will come in and sup with me and me with him. Clear up all the questions that I might have about what all is happening in the world around us today. And help me to be able to understand he's got a peace for us in the middle of it all. So salvation is available for everyone. So then the question for me for today that I want to look at is, why is it that everyone is not saved? What scriptures do we have that, to me, here's one thing that is important to me. Not so much to look around like Peter did at John and say, what's this man going to do? But to realize the things that can cause me to trip up and be lost in the end. I would like for us to start over in Matthew. In the 7th chapter, this is the Sermon on the Mount, 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, a narrow passageway is the one he wants us to enter into. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. This is Jesus' message to us. There's a gate. It's a very narrow passageway. Is it just talking about this as a 3-foot walkway? It's talking about the word of the Lord, the instructions that he gives us, puts a carefulness in our life. We're not able to just go through this with just all the baggage of the world hanging on to us, but it's a careful walk that I've got to have. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there's many that go in thereat. What I'm interested in this afternoon for myself, I want to know some scriptures and I want to store them away. What keeps me in the narrow way and be able to have life everlasting at the end? We read this and we've heard it so many times. What caused there to be in Matthew 25 and in the first part of it? What caused there to be half of those in Jesus' example? There were 5 wise and there were 5 foolish. You know what that meant? 5 of them did not make it. You know, I'd a whole lot rather focus on the 5 that made it. Except that if I will today realize, you know what, there's some people that will not enter. And it has nothing to do with God planned it at the beginning. Because here was his plan that every man would be able to be saved. But there's something that we have. We have a choice that we make about some things. What was it about this 25th chapter, this story? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. What can I take away from this today and realize here's where I need to be stepping very carefully? And you know what? I believe this right here, this story applies more to us today than it probably has ever applied in all of our time. Why? Because we could be very close to the edge. I know we've heard that. I've heard it 50 years ago. I heard it at camp meetings. But surely the day is going to come. And here's another thing I've got to realize is I'm 64 years old. You know what? You add a few more years to that and my end is going to come. I've got to walk with a carefulness. But here's the danger. What caused 5 of them to be in the foolish category? It was because time passed. You know, when we read over in Exodus, when they knew, it was given exactly the time that the death angel was going to come by the houses. At midnight, it's going to come by. I'm looking for one thing, blood on the doorpost in Exodus 12. If you have blood on the doorpost, and if you're on the inside of the door at that time, you'll be spared. Your house will be spared. You know, it'd be pretty easy to do that if you believed, is to say it's coming tonight. Make sure we got the blood on the doorpost. But how different would it have been if God's command would have been put the blood on the doorpost, keep it fresh every day. I'm coming back sometime. And 1 year passes. You know what? It'll be altogether different. It was pretty easy there because I think it said on the 14th day, you do this. And at midnight, this is going to happen. I think I could be ready for that. You know what? If this story would have been that on this certain day, at this certain time, the bridegroom will be here, be ready. I believe every one of them would have been ready. But what the danger is, and what I want to take away from this, is I love the thought that everyone can be saved. I've got to also be warned by the thought that everyone is not going to be saved. And I can be in that number. And so I find these things that are a warning to me. Watch out for this one. Watch out for this one. This will cost you. This one costs. This one costs. You know what? It says in here that there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. They weren't wise and foolish at the beginning. Every one of them had a lamp that was burning. So it makes me to think about, there was a day when all 10 of them would have made it in if the bridegroom would have come earlier. But time passes, and time can be our enemy. And what I want us to go away from here today, for myself really, because you know what, I want you to be saved, but I want to be saved. Yes. Some of these things today are telling me, like that song, "My soul be on thy guard." Yes. "Never think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down." This thing won't be over. It could go on for a while, but let's be faithful. So in this one, there was a time when all of them could have made it, but time kept passing. And you know, as it passes longer, as it does with me, you know, today I just really don't think he's coming back tomorrow. I really don't even think he'll probably next year or the next one or that. It just seems like it's continued. 2 Peter 3 says it that way. All things have continued just like they were. They've just been continuing on. And it seems like it will continue that way. But for us to be stirred today, some are not going to make it. And it has nothing to do with God said some will make it and who will make it and who will not. He just lets us know, here's some things that could cause you not to make it. So as time passed, here's another little danger. They all slumbered and slept. You know, for whatever we would read in the commentaries about that, what that is, that means 10 of them got in a drowsy state.
Yes.
So it made me wonder, what would their percentage have been if it had continued on longer? Would the others' lamps have gone out and they not have the oil needed? It's just a warning for us. Let me stay over here on this side realizing he could come at any time.
Yes.
You know, we have been stirred over the last few weeks of someone dying instantly. And there is, and you know how easy it is to be stirred to, I want to be ready. And it has nothing to do with that, okay, I need to quit sinning so I'll be ready. We're talking about for Christian folks here today. Ready is, Lord, let my soul be on guard that I would not be one of these foolish ones that just, I got real drowsy. You know, lethargy is a danger for us today. It is a danger for me today. I have no desire to go back out and sin. But you know what? I can get in that drowsy state to where I just day by day passes on by. And I think what the Lord wants to talk to us today about is, let me be on guard. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man would come. You know, there was another verse that said, if the goodman of the house had known in what day the thief would come, he would have watched.
Yes.
He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Okay, so there's one that's telling us, be on guard. Don't let lethargy get us. Then I'd like to go to another. And if you have one that you want to add to this, I'd like for you to add it. Are there places in the Bible, are there some places in the Bible that say, if you do these things, you will not enter?
Yes.
Boy, you know what I want to do? I don't want to go through and find out, okay, I wonder how many other people are doing them so I can know they're not going to enter. Anything that the Bible says, if this is done, you will not enter. Boy, I want to let that be red alert for me. So I look at some things. Here's another verse over in Luke 13 and 23. There was a question asked, are there few that will be saved? And he said to them, you know, I kind of think of this verse as saying, don't look around at other people trying to decide if they'll be saved. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Because there's going to be many that seek to enter in and shall not be able. In other words, they started out with a desire, I want to be able to make it. But I didn't put forth the effort that it required, because you know what? It's going to take effort day after day, being faithful to the Lord. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, you begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, I know you not from whence you are. I don't want that to be the answer for my life. So here's another warning that I believe is good for me today. Over in Luke 21, because this is something that can get us, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. This is a danger for me. To move from the category of who can be saved, everybody can, I can too. To the point that not everyone will be saved, because there's some dangers for us. And here is this danger. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with cares of this life. You know, we can be to the point where I've got so much happening. And I want to realize, if I could really see eternity, how would it change what the values are that I have? You know where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It ought to be just a flashing light to me. How much value do I place on being in service? It needs to go up really high. Because here's some dangers that I can have. There can be some cares of this life that are not sinful at all. If they were sinful, I could have a warning about them. But they're not sinful at all. In fact, the Lord tells me, as the husband of the house, that it's my responsibility to be a provider. And I can provide. But you know what? I can allow the cares of this life so that that day come upon me unaware. So there are some other things that... What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You know what? Everyone can be saved. But what was his message to him? Except a man be born again. You know, we used to even see bumper stickers about a born again believer. Born again. That means that there has been a change come about in that person. And the scripture I want to always remember is 2 Corinthians 5:17. This one tells the world around me that a change has come. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So we're looking at, for today, all men can be saved. All won't be saved. And now it's for me to be on guard myself. There are a couple scriptures that will say these things will cause you to miss heaven. And I want to check them off and say, won't go there. Let's go to Galatians. Galatians 5. And here's another thing. We won't be through with this message just with these. So I can check these off, and there's still some things that can catch me. In fact, checking these off, I'm not there, can make me feel better about, I think I can make it. But we want to be on guard. This one is telling us about the works of the flesh. And we could check these off and say, none of those fit me. Which are these? 19th verse, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, you know, I can look at these and say, yep, these won't do it. But you know, five of the foolish virgins, theirs wouldn't do it either. So I checked this out, and this one lets me know some that won't. But I want to look at another one. 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. It gives us another list. 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it gives another list that covers, in many times, it covers the same areas. But then on down in the 11th verse, it says, and such were some of you. You know, Sister Maxine talked about the past. And you know what? We can look at the past and we can thank God that we are now clean. Such were some of you, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So these two make me feel a little better about my walk with the Lord because I can check them off. Don't have anything there. But I want to go to a place for a little bit this afternoon and take a look at this story. It's another one of Jesus. Matthew in the 22nd chapter. He gives us a story, and we've read it before many times. Second verse, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And he's going on to other people. Fourth verse, behold, I've prepared my dinner. All things are ready. Come to the marriage, but they made light of it. They went their ways, one to the farm, another to his merchandise. Can I fall in that category? Would I say it out loud? I'm making light of the invitation that you have made for me.
Yes.
How I can make light of it is one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Just the daily cares of this life that can cause me to fall into that category. And it goes on down. There were even some that entreated them spitefully, slew them. You know, that call for salvation that goes to everyone, it went out to the Jews. Jesus sent it to the Jews first, giving them an opportunity. And you know, they were the ones that turned against him and did not receive it. Thought about with Paul, you know, it seemed like his greatest persecution came from the Jews that he cared about the most, desiring them to be able to make it. So here it's saying that those entreated them spitefully and slew them. But he goes on down in the 8th verse, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go into the highways and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. So we read in these next few verses where they just went out and said, you know what, we want people to be here. Invite people. We have tried, if we look at it in the Bible times, we have invited the Jews. We have invited the ones that were chosen, should have been happy to come, but now just bid anybody. And so it says that he, 11th verse, you know, I've read this before and I thought, this just does not seem fair. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now wait a minute, this had been, they went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished. And now he comes in at one of those that was willing to come to the wedding, and he sees that he does not have a wedding garment on. You know, that does not seem fair, except for one thing. They didn't have to go out and buy the wedding garment. He provided it. You know what? Who can be saved? Everyone. He has provided the wedding garment for every one of us to be able to be accepted. And he said to him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The garment was provided by the host. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, we were each one, salvation was available to each one of us, that we would have an acceptable garment on. There is Frank Sinatra, I looked at a song that he either wrote or he sang it. I did it my way. You know what? This man was willing to come off the street and go to the wedding when the chosen people were not even willing to come. He was willing to go to it his way. You know, we're living in a religious world today that wants to go to heaven my way. You know, we've already read some places that says, and I checked them off because I wasn't there. some places it says, if you do this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, we have a religious world that says, check it off. It's okay. Your sins will be forgiven you and you can continue in these very things that says, if you're doing these, you're not going to make it. You know, I can look at those and say, okay, I'm not there either. But you know what? I can do it my way.
Yes.
Here in our chapel. I can have the Lord deal with me about a change that needs to happen in my life. And you know, it could be attitude. It could be anything. And instead, I do it my way. I'm still coming to the wedding that Jesus has provided. I just have my own apparel on. What is that apparel? I'd like to look at a verse over in Revelations. It tells us what it is. Revelations, the 19th chapter. And in the 7th, this is talking about a wedding. Starting in the 7th verse of the 19th chapter of Revelations. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. You know what? To the church, there's a wedding garment that's given. And then it goes on down and describes what that wedding garment is. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Righteousness is what we're going to need to be clothed with.
Yes.
When Jesus comes back again. And Paul had some righteousness that he was depending on. In Philippians, we heard part of this today. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 9th verse, I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. You know, Paul, when he was on the road to Damascus, he thought he was doing God's service. He had, remember, he told his list, his pedigree of all that he had done, of a Pharisee of the Pharisees. In some ways, he was blameless. And then this one says, I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You remember where Paul said, I've got a desire. My heart's desire is that Israel would be saved. He said that in Romans in the 10th chapter and in the 1st verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And look on the 3rd verse. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Here's that wedding garment that we're trying to figure out. How could that man have been blamed for coming in and not wearing a wedding garment when he just came in off the street? They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You know, Jesus, when he said on the cross, it is finished.
Yes.
That plan of salvation was then made available to all men. And we had so many scriptures last week that it's available for all men. And I am very thankful for it. But you know, we've heard even today about a battleground between God and Satan.
Yes.
And it's in our mind.
Yes.
You know, we can read about the battle of Armageddon, the battle of right and wrong in Revelations and all that. I want to tell you that battle's going on today. In our minds. And what Sister Maxine talked to us this morning about is just one of the stages of this battle. One of the places that it uses of what has happened in the past. You know, if he cannot get it, if the Satan cannot get it one way, he will get it another way. And his whole desire is to move me from this place of who can be saved, I can be saved, to who will be saved, I missed it. Because I allowed this battle to be lost. And I am thankful that when things happen in our life, because even as Sister Maxine was talking today, I started looking back. at my life, at places. And I thought, Lord, I'm so glad you had mercy on me. It says that he was full of mercy. And he surely was to me. Because there is places that I look back and think, I don't know how he kept from striking me down. But I'm thankful he did. And so when we look back at those places, you know what? The devil would love to just bring them back to us again, even though they've been forgiven years ago. And you know what? It's okay with me today if he does. Because I can say, thank you, God, for forgiving me. Who can be saved? Every one of us. But it says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices.
Yes.
You know, we heard this morning of one of his devices. One that would like to move us from the category of who can be saved. I can be saved. You know what? He that endureth to the end is the one that's going to be saved. So I think for us today, to realize the mercy of the Lord to us in the past, when he forgave us, to where I start being able to understand who's fighting in this battle, to be able to see if it causes me to move over to the unforgiveness side, Satan's winning.
Yes,
sir. I want to be able to real quick be able to understand, okay, a wrong's been done to me. You know what? A scripture that I would keep in my mind would be real good for me. If you don't forgive men their trespasses,
yes,
neither will your heavenly Father forgive yours. How quick should I forgive then? You know, I want it to be pretty quick because we've heard recently of people that died just instantly.
Yes.
And we still want to remember it's the Lord's mercy that none of us are cut off. It is not his desire to cut any of us off. But I want to take it as a serious reminder. Dan, don't let these things linger in your life because they can move you from this. Who can be saved? You know, I feel comforted with everybody can be saved. I can too. I need to take just as strong of a warning as I take that comfort. I can be lost if I allow myself to move into some of these areas and don't take care of them. So I think it's very important for us in the future. As we look in the past, you know what? I take the past to be a reminder to me. Thank you, Lord, and I don't never want to go back to those places again. And that's all that we get from those. We don't let it churn back up again as far as like I just did it. I am very thankful for that. So with this man that had his own garment on, I need to realize the value of the wedding garment. What it is it's the word of God and the plan of salvation. You know, there are some places where the Lord tells us who can be saved.
Yes.
It was all in a whole lot of it was in the Sermon on the Mount. One of them is over in Matthew. It says there's going to be many people, Matthew 7 and 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I'm glad it didn't stop there. It goes on to tell me who can enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's a comforting thought to me. What he's looking for is obedience to his word. And I want to study his word to where I can know what does he require of me, what is needed for me to make heaven. There is another in Luke 6. And 46. Because we find several places where Jesus is saying, if you love me, there's some things that you'll be doing. This one in Luke 6 and 46 is, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And this is where it comes and says, he that heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. A man that digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And then the flood arose. You know what? We're going to have some floods come in our life.
Yes,
that's going to beat vehemently on it. And at that time, what's going to be important is what kind of foundation do I have under? You know, I can build the same house on sand as I do on a solid foundation, and they will be the same material from the ground up. But you know what? If it's not fastened on a good foundation, one of them is going to be shaken loose. So this one's saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Then there is another one in John 14. So what I want to take from these is, Lord, help me to spend some time finding out what you have said, what is going to be required, because I can't hardly take what the religious world around me has to say today. I need, what does the Word of God say? 14 and 15 of John, very small verse. If you love me,
yes,
keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to keep me over in the who can be saved category, mm-hmm, because I love him and I'm keeping his commandments. 1 John 5. First John, the 5th chapter. And in the 3rd verse, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Following what the Lord has for us is not a hard thing to do. When I can take a look and see what it protects me from, with joy we'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. And it talks about there being walls around us. You know, this put up there for our protection, and I'm thankful for it. In Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it's letting us know you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your might. That's going to be very important for me to stay over in this category. Who can be saved? I can be saved, and I want to be saved. But you know what? Just as we've read a list today of people that will not be saved, it didn't put somebody's name on it. It could be anybody's name. It didn't say that the five foolish, they were named these names. Why? Because my name could be put on either side of the scale. Instead of us leaving out of here of wondering, oh, how can I make it? No, let's just be determined. I am going to make it. As the messages come to us like we heard this morning, realize that's one of the tools for me to understand about this battle. If the Lord comes to me to show me a change that I need to make, he's going to always point me in the direction to be able to correct it. You know, something that happened to me, well, and I've told you this before probably, but I was already preaching when one day it came to me, you have not been baptized since you got saved 40 years ago. Well, you know, I had pictures in an album of times that I got, because when I was young, it seemed like when camp meeting time would come by, I'd go back to the altar and go back and be baptized. So I knew I'd been baptized a bunch of times. But that thought came to me, the last time you got saved, you didn't get baptized after that last time. And you know what happened to me? I started trying to put the dates together to affirm, yes, I have been. Well, I'm old enough, I can't remember what happened a few days ago hardly. So it got harder and harder. And I'm back and forth, okay, I think I was, well, maybe I wasn't. And finally the thought came to me, wait a minute, I'm not going to go through this. Because you know when I'm going to hear that again one day?
Yes.
Is when I'm laying on my deathbed and the thought comes to me, you didn't get baptized. I said, okay, that's it. I will be baptized.
Yes.
Now, you know, wait a minute. When you've been preaching to somebody and now you say, folks, I'd like to be baptized. There's only one reason you get baptized, is there's sin in your life. So I needed to do some explaining. Well, I was down here and I would have liked to just gone back to Brother Stanley and say, could you meet me at the chapel on Thursday evening? I'd like to, if you'll dip me, I'll say I got it now. But I thought, no, you know what? I need to just go ahead and tell the people. So I asked Brother Stanley, I said, Brother Stanley, I said, I'll come up on a Sunday night. I would like to be baptized. Would you announce it on Sunday morning? And go ahead and tell them who it is. He said, nuh-uh. He said, you come tell them yourself. He said, you come tell them. So I said, okay, I will. So I went on Sunday night and I told him, I said, folks, I don't know what you're going to think of this, but I got something I got to take care of. I said, this thing just keeps churning in my head and I cannot confirm it. And I said, I have finally decided I'm not going on with this because I don't want it to come up in out in the future. So I'm here to be baptized tonight because I'm going to, if I cannot remember it out in the future, there's enough young people here that can tell me, yes, you were. And so I went up to be baptized and I turned around and there's some others behind me and they say, you know, I got that same question. It's been tossing around with me. Well, you know how I found out that was the devil? As soon as I made the decision, I'm going to call Brother Stan and I'm going to be baptized. If the Lord was in that, how would he have helped me? Yes. It'll be taken care of then.
Yes.
Instead, it was, no way. Don't do that. What are they going to think about you if you do it? Well, instantly, I got it tagged now. This is from the devil. But I'm not going to let it go on. I'm going to finish it. Folks, you know what? Every one of us, we're going to have battles in our mind where maybe even, do I need to ask forgiveness about that or do I not? Do I need to take care of this or do I not? You know what I find out whenever I say, maybe I could get by without it. Maybe I don't need to, but I tell you what, I'm going to just take care of this and be done with it. This is going to help us win the battle and move us from the needle of shall not, may not, over to the everyone, I can be saved. And I am very thankful for that. May the Lord lead every one of us at any time that the devil wants to take advantage of you, of something you've said or something you've done, just err on the side of, you know what, I tell you what, if I take care of that thing, whether I needed to or not so much, I can keep all the lines clear. So we've been talking about who can be saved, who will not inherit it. You know, the Bible talks about a guarantee that I can make heaven my home. It's over in, and I want to touch that before we stop. 2 Peter, the first chapter, and the start in the, well, it gives us starting in the fifth verse, because I'm going to have to add some things into my life to be able to move over in this category that I'm ready to meet the Lord. Besides this, giving all diligence, fifth verse of 2 Peter 1. We start adding some things in our life. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. If these be in you and abound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. But look at this 10th verse. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, put some effort into it, make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know what they, there's some people that believe that God has decided who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. He decided that everyone could be saved, but he's telling us right here, I tell you what, if you'll do these things, you will not fall. There are other things in the Bible that it gives us. If we'll do these, we can make heaven our home. And look at this 11th verse. For so an our desire is to make heaven our home in the end. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Wouldn't that be a pretty nice thing? I like to read about Christian in Pilgrim's Progress when he came up to the celestial city and those gates came open for him. This one says, an entrance shall be administered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Made heaven my home at the end because I was diligent. The things that the Lord spoke to me about, I took care of. The things that I was not even too sure about, I just made sure they were clear.
Yes.
And those things where the devil wanted to take advantage of my mind, I was able to understand it. Because for every one of us, if the Lord wants us to make a change, he's going to draw us. He's going to work with us.
Yes.
You will always, if it's clouded, if it is accusations is from the devil. If I have a desire to please the Lord, the Lord's going to show me clearly what I need to do, and I am very thankful for that. May each one of us finish out our life with a needle laid over.
Amen.
Everybody can be saved, and I'm going to be one of that everybody. Desire your prayers.